see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gambill. I am the host of this show called Watchman for Jesus. It gives you kind of an idea which culture that I tend toward. I deal with reality. Once you learn the reality of this conspiracy that we're in, as long as I do radio programs, I can't regress and talk about the State of the Union address. A worthless discussion. I could sit here and analyze his words and say, well, he used these figures, these signs, these handshakes, these eyebrow wrinkles and all this sort of thing. And say, well, there's a secret message contained within the message of the State of the Union. And I could say all the stuff and go over the statistics and all that he talked about and just waste a whole hour of nothing. You see, someone asked me the other day, Tom, did you hear the... You want to watch the State of the Union? I said, why? Why watch his address? Why listen to his? Bush? Obama? That would be his too. Clinton? FDR? It don't make one bit. You name them. Seriously, you name either one. Alive, dead, or otherwise. The State of the Union address is absolutely worthless. Why? It's scripted out. It's a reality show. It's a professional wrestling match. It is already figured out who's going to win, who's going to lose, just like your elections. You want to challenge that? Be my guest. The President of the United States, male, female, or transgender, whatever, they're already chosen, picked, and ready to be put into place. And between now and 2016, they're going to go through the machinations of, oh, goodness, they're going to be on TV, say we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then I'm going to start knocking them off little by little. You got, once again, you got 7 or 8 possible candidates. As we go along, they're going to be knocked off. Boop, 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 boop. And they're going to put down the Democrats, which I really don't care, but they're going to put down the Democrats so that when they assign or appoint a Republican president that was going to take us to war, as they always do, or appoint a Democrat president that's going to take us to a state of Marxism or communism, just take your pick because they have their assignments already picked out by the Council of Foreign Relations as directed by the Jesuits. This is an absolute truth. You want to challenge it? Again, be my guest. See, so I can't waste my time going over all this stuff that's already picked out, chosen, and put out on the screen and on the air. That's already prescripted, just like a professional wrestling match. They're in shape. Great. They can pump iron. Whoopie-doo. But the outcome of the match is already figured, and all the acting in between is all prescripted. It's a fraud. I didn't say frog. I said fraud. We're on the same page. Frog and fraud. Oh. So if you want to hear about the State of the Union, you need to go somewhere else because I don't waste my time on that nonsense. It's scripted out like a reality show, Duck Dynasty. It's all garbage, and they're yuppies anyway that's pretending to be Southern, and they're not, and they're definitely not Christian. That's impossible for them to be Christian and produce some nonsensical Duck Dynasty Bible that's based on the New King James Bible, the new one. It's missing 100,000 words. Family, y'all being hooked and crooked, stolen, misdirected, and lied to by the media. I picked them all out. I can show you exactly where the liars, the whole darn lot of them, with evidence, too. But you see, the interesting part of it is, if I can, anybody out there can. I'm nobody special by no stretch, but I'm like a dog leg going on your honey butt. I'm not going to let go to the thunders. I don't give up. That's one thing about it. And I will go head to head. Straight on. Every time. But people give up too soon. They give up. Oh, this too much. I can't handle this. Oh, there's too much going on. I want to watch Andy Griffin. It's too much going on. Let's go play golf somewhere. Oh, the Super Bowl's on. Can't wait to see it. Oh, yeah. And it's over. They can't wait for the next Super Bowl a year from now. In the meantime, they play fantasy football. What a waste of time. In the meantime, the Illuminati, the Jesuits, the Freemasons, the Knights of Malta, the Illuminati are not wasting any time. They're planning their next agenda. I'm going to talk about that today. I'm going to quantify exactly what they've done. And by what knowing what they've done will tell you where they're headed. Who's in real control? You see, we can talk about the central banks if you want to. But the central banks are going to be eliminated, not by some hero like Ron Paul, who's a Rosicrucian, another liar in the government, just like the rest of them. They're secret society members. It's completely and totally infested. Your Congress, your military, your business industry, politics, finance, everything is infested with the secret society members who themselves are going to be targeted, and they don't realize that they're going to be taken out. Literally, murdered. Every single one of them. Once the Great White Brotherhood hierarchy has total control, they will all die. The secret society members, every single one of them. They will not let one live. That sounds sensational. It's not sensational. It's exactly what's going to happen. But their minds are gone from these blood oaths they take. They won't listen to you. They won't listen. They won't hear what you got to tell. They're going to have to learn the hard way. When they all start dying, then they realize, we're targeted. It will happen. But not until the Great White Brotherhood, the hierarchy of this world conspiracy plan, has total control. Then they'll start killing off the people that helped them get up there. They'll start killing them off one by one, many by many. Y'all better wake up. and come out of the slumber. Because you can see the signs of the times. Paris, France. Arm in arm, hand in hand, walking together like a bunch of nincompoops. All the heads of state of Italy and France and Germany and all these others. All secret society members. Many are bloodline, by the way. What you saw in that photo that's famous about them all hand in hand, armed in hand, and I guess they went to cook marshmallows at their campfire later. I don't know. Wasn't same kumbaya. Family, what you saw in that photograph of all those world leaders together was a message that the world revival, the revival of the Holy Roman Empire, is soon to happen. Because that's exactly who they were. Leaders of all the nations that make up the seven nations of the Holy Roman Empire. Three missing because the three tribes were extinct. 10 nations total. 7 remain. 7 that will make up the revival, the wound to heal, the revival of the Holy Roman Empire. You saw the photo of it. That was a preempting of it. That was a message to those who know. We are very close to the fulfillment of the dream of Nebuchadnezzar as interpreted by Daniel. The feet of iron and clay is getting ready to form together. Y'all better get ready. Let's dedicate the broadcast, and then I'm going to start talking about what they've really done in the past. To know the future, you must know what's happened in the past. And I'll show you how it's going to affect us today, as affecting us now. And until you know this, there's no way of even coming to grips with it without knowing about it. So before I get really, really kicking here, I'll dedicate the broadcast. Lord, we pray to you today. In the name we pray, in the Son of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Lord, I lift up to you this program, our broadcast, Bible studies. Father, we call upon you today to use that Holy Spirit to unite us all, to touch our hearts, our souls. Bring us together with your discernment and wisdom. Father, to help us put ourselves second and put you first, above country, above family, above anything we know on this earth. Father, put you first and ourselves second. And Father, you guide us in the right path. You give us what we need, Father, to fulfill thy will. And give us, Father, what we have to have in our needs. Father, we know that we'll use, that you'll guide us to fulfill thy will for this future coming. Father, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our families, Lord, to kind of start convicting those hearts. Turn those hearts toward you with your Holy Spirit. To bring families together instead of taking them apart. But Lord, the families are being attacked. Families are working against family members. Hearts are being covered in darkness. Father, we need those hearts to be light. To protect them with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we call upon you to keep us humble. Convict us when we fall away. Put that Spirit of the Lord, put that Spirit, Father, in us to keep us away from the sin, away from the temptation, and our minds sharp, our courage strong. Father, we pray for an awakening of all our leaders, even the ones, Lord, that are under the blood oaths, for them to realize this, to convict them, Lord, and use them against the evil. And Father, they'll renounce these blood oaths that they've taken. They'll sabotage the efforts of Satan within these plans that they have out. That, Father, that you'll set up divine appointments. They'll lead those in your service to witness to others about Jesus Christ. And in preparation for these end times, Lord, that's coming up, open up our eyes to see the truth, the deception that's being preached on the pulpits. That we can see the truth through the Bible, the King James Bible. Lord, to expose these counterfeit King James Bibles, to expose these modern Bibles, that, Lord, that we know that the King James is being attacked. And to expose the heresy of these religions, all of them. Expose the inside machinations of the Christianity that's being used against those that want to, that are following you. Father, expose those false preachers, false prophets. Father, we need supernatural help. And to strip down the protection of these Wiccan in the government, in the military, and in this industry. And Father, in the politics, that Father, you'll strip down the protection of those following the Wiccan practices at the highest level. And expose the Satanists in our governments. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will anoint us, lead us to the right path, and lead others to Jesus through the divine appointments that you bring to us. And Father, to give us the words to speak, to lead those that's lost into the right path. And all these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, the civil rights movement, which I've been talking about now for the past 4 days, primarily at the beginning was about Martin Luther King, because it was Martin Luther King's day, and he most certainly needs to be recognized. They all start by saying, he said in his meetings with the communists, the socialists, they start off wrong. He plagiarized his dissertation, all kinds of just stuff that they talk about him. But they forget the Pope is responsible for the murder of millions, even now. They forget to tell you about the evil within our own Joint Chief of Staff. There are members of the Knights of Malta and the Knights of Columbus and the Rhodes Scholars that are traitors right as of this minute, going all the way back to 1921 and everyone in between. They don't tell you about that. That's cowardly. They forget these kind of things. I don't. It's actually pathetic to even bring up that if he did or didn't cheat on his dissertation. Probably didn't. But if he did, so what? Let's talk about the more important things here instead of distractions. You see how pathetic that is? We're worried about presidents that set up the death of millions. The Bushes have a legacy of death, murder, going back to 1915. Bill Clinton, responsible for how many dead when he was in Arkansas as a governor because of those that knew that about the drugs the CIA was bringing into Arkansas. Anybody ever talk about that? I guess cheating on your dissertation is more important to bring up than the murder of millions of thousands of hundreds. Murder's not a problem, right? I got a problem with it. If we stoop so low that we ignore the elephant in the room, I keep harping on Bundy Ranch. I keep harping on Ferguson. Family, these are all set up. These are all like professional wrestling matches. Soros is funding the riots in Ferguson. They're funded. They're orchestrated, planned, executed. It's not like people spontaneously got together and fight for the rights and all that stuff. We're in a apathetic stage of stage number 8 of a 9-step program that spans back 250 years. That's been directed by social engineers of the Illuminati. So now, because Americans now are apathetic, at the apathetic stage, they have to pay people to march because the people don't care anymore. Because the way the school system, the education system, the political system, financial system, and so forth has manipulated each generation of youth, and literally the video games, other things, have mind-numbed, and the education completely dumbed down our youth that's now adults. So to get people to rise up now, they got to, you know, pay them. I know for a fact in Kosovo, and I was blasted on this several times, but I produced the documents, that the radical Wahhabi type of Muslims from Iran and Saudi Arabia came over to Kosovo. And because the Albanian Muslims are lukewarm at best about being Muslim, kind of like Christians are today in America, just about, are lukewarm. They're not on fire for Islam at all, not in the remote sense of the word. Albanians are Muslim, but man, they're not on fire for Islam. Matter of fact, some of the imams would come to some of the villages in Albania. I mean, I was in Kosovo, and I know from the employees I had under me that were Albanians, would warn the imams, you come back here again, we'll kill you. Don't you come around here. But then the poor Albanians were being, and here's the key, were being paid to be Muslim. They're being paid to worship, being paid to pray 5 times a day, being paid to work to recruit others. They were paid to do this. The other Albanians are like, hey, man, don't even come around my house. I'll kill you. Well, the same thing's being done in Ferguson. They're being paid. And then they're trained. And the others are all along there for the ride. And they're being manipulated mentally. Same thing in Bundy Ranch. White on white. White bread on white bread. You got veterans against veterans. One on the Fed side, one on the militia side, whatever. Oath Keepers and militia and all that sort of thing, Rambos. I got respect for them, but man, y'all better wake up out there. Who's on the other side and the Fed side? Other veterans. They got jobs when they got out. Who's on the other side of the militia? Veterans. Fighting each other. It's white to white. Y'all just do it anyway. So you got a common enemy, then you fight the common enemy, then back to fighting each other. That's the dumbest thing I've seen in my life. But nothing to do. I'm a little old guy here, a little old radio station, you know, program. What can I do? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I was out there, if I had a voice nationwide, had a following, you dadgum cotton picking right, I'd lead it right up to the top. Only thing that would stop me would be a bullet. You can count on that, baby. But that doesn't seem to be what's going on. Who knows what God's got planned? I don't know. But here I am. I got my radio station. I will not shut up. And I'll continue on. Let God work it out. But I'm not going to quit. No matter how small it is. How big it might become. I have no idea. But I know I'm a talking, and I know I got listeners. And as long as I got that, then I have responsibility. Which reminds me, if y'all would, this hour, and then after 5, 10 or so, go to TalkStream Live twice, 2 times today, if you would. TalkStreamLive.com, on TalkStreamLive.com. And you'll find my photo on a list of other speakers, commentators, whatever, and click my picture. Up pops that page thing. Click the green bar to the right of my photo. a media player will pop up. You can listen there or just click it off and then go back to my website or whatever you want to do. But the main thing is to click that green bar. It's like a vote. It kind of moves me up in the ratings. If I move up, then more people likely to listen. If I'm down at the bottom, they're going to say, who's this guy on the bottom? I don't know. Well, he's probably down there. Let's go someone higher. That's bottom line. But I want to be the top line. I don't sell anything, make anything, do anything. I don't sell freeze-dried food. I don't sell DVDs or BVDs, whatever. I don't sell anything. Has no benefit for me whatsoever other than I know I'm telling the truth and I want to get it out. It's that simple. Nothing else. I don't want nothing else. For me personally. I work for Jesus Christ. Whereas the Joint Chief of Staff, they work for Satan. Absolutely. And I hope one day they hear one of my broadcasts. Because I am calling them out as traitors to this country. They lost something along the way. I don't care whether you got a Medal of Honor or you got a Navy Cross. It don't make a lick of difference. You sold that out when you became a member of the Joint Chief of Staff. And you became a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. And you brief them, you sold yourself out. You don't deserve any medal because you're a traitor to your family, to your country, and to yourself. But most of all, you're a traitor to God because of blood oath you took, because you lost your faith. When you go into a church, it's an abomination because the death that you all cause is unthinkable. I've already proven that many times. Republicans, the Council of Foreign Relations, Council of National Policy, Republican right-wing so-called religious types are responsible for the death of your children. The Democrat side works with them, but they're responsible for the Marxist, communist, communitarian type theology, ideology that's going to put you in slavery. And the two of them work together as partners at the Council of Foreign Relations level. That work for the Jesuits and Illuminati. Any questions? That's how it really works. So see, all their speeches and all that stuff, and all these events are orchestrated, planned out. Now let's get down to specifics. So far, I've been talking off the top of my head. My heart's been talking. As I'm laying the groundwork for what I'm going to talk about here for the next hour and a half. And tomorrow, too. Next week, I want to dedicate, like I have the civil rights this week, and what it's really used for, I want to dedicate next week to demonstrate the attack on the American servicemen. The actual attack by our own Joint Chief of Staff, our own government, European government, the Vatican, all those other criminals up there on both sides. Of the attack on the U.S. military, and why? Next week. Pat Tillman comes to mind. American sniper Kyle comes to mind. Tens of thousands of dead, millions of soldiers and Marines in every war really comes to mind. And the graves in Arlington can be blamed on the Council of Foreign Relations, literally. We'll talk about that next week. Oh, I'm going to hammer it, too. This week, I'm going to dedicate to the civil rights movement, but the actual purpose of it. You see, the civil rights movement, to look at it in perspective, think of it as a forest. The forest, the canopy, is a new world order being orchestrated. And each tree below the canopy of the tree, of the leaves and the as you look over the tree, you climb the highest tree, and you look out. You get up there, and you're holding on to that highest limb, and you look out over the sunset. Because you can't see it when you're in the forest. So you climb this tallest tree, and you get to the very top of the limb. And you look out over, and you see the canopy of all the other trees. Well, feminist movement is a tree. The civil rights movement is a tree. Each war is a tree. Those are all trees to make up the forest. You see? So the civil rights movement is just one more way to keep us divided, keep us controlled. The feminist movement was designed to destroy the nation. Racism, designed to destroy the nation. Under the guise of being helpful. So the people, 90% of them, don't even know this. Have no idea. And don't want to know. That's why it's going to be successful. What if the Bundy Ranch, for example, white on white, white bread on white bread, white boy against white boy, it's based on patriotism, right? Okay, that was the trigger. What's it based on Ferguson? Well, they had to come up with a racial issue. They had to find a trigger. And then you got to train the activists somewhere in an auditorium. And then they fund it. Then they make sure they're bust out there. And then they use the Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, Fitter, whatever it is, to get everybody to be joined there, like your flash mob situation and administration. So everybody's there. Then you get the activists. Some of them are police officers. Some of them are CIA. Some of them are just paid traitors. They're saying, we want this. We want that. And then somebody out there throws. It's all scripted. It's all scripted. Now, back in the day of World War I, World War II is different. Very, very much different. Because, you see, they promoted real values. You attack real values, you're going to get real aggression back at you. So, in other words, you had the family values on the TV, teaching the real history, had the movies, John Wayne, Sands of Iwo Jima, you know, all this stuff. He's a Freemason. Audie Murphy was a Freemason. They needed those heroes to play those parts in movies to get us all fired up to go join and fight those Japanese and those Germans and what have you. And then the Russians and Germans and Japanese were taught the same thing. And all the leaders of the countries were working together. Churchill, Hitler, FDR, the Japanese elite, Yamamoto, family, they're all working together. You understand this? Churchill, FDR, the Japanese elite helped plan Pearl Harbor in the mid-1920s. They planned it out and they orchestrated testing in 1932. I got microfiche of that operation and reports in the regular newspaper. Worked together. Hitler, Churchill, who was a Knights of Malta, by the way, Queen Elizabeth II, man, that woman just won't go away. She's like Ginsburg. Prince Philip, her second cousin husband. Stalin, family, they're all second cousins of the Merovingian bloodline. The same bloodline that all our presidents were members of. Man, we've been hoodooed by a family bloodline that's European, that can trace their actual bloodline to the pharaohs of Egypt. All the way back, that is the Illuminati. Do you understand this? And along the way, setting up steps to help control the world, each step. And they had an Antichrist chosen the whole time. Nimrod. You got it. Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Alexander, the Roman Empire that fell apart. I mean, all this has been planned and connected together in this Illuminati agenda. Are y'all starting to get the implications here? All this is documented in different places. This is amazing what's going on in our world, but they're going to fail. They will fail because, you see, evil cannot take over good. Who's good? God is. Who's the creator? God is. Now, if you want to go ahead and believe that this universe we're in started with nothing, and that nothing created something, and then the something that created was created by nothing, is now going to recreate itself into something else. Have at it, man. Have at it. It's going to go back to nothing again. Good luck on that one. Yeah, that doesn't even fit scientific principles, man. Thermodynamics or entropy. This is impossible. The world goes backwards, don't go forwards. Everything burns, dies, rust, rots, used up. So how does that go forward? It don't. God keeps things going forward. This supernatural being we call God is real, man. He is real. The creator that assembled, well, I got news for you. He can disassemble too anytime he wants to. But see, Satan and the fallen angels that moved away from God, that you all call aliens or ascended masters or other nonsense, they have learned the principles that God set up and have quantified them with formulas, elements, alchemy, to manipulate. That's where you get all this going on today in science. It's not of God. That we were created to worship him, to love him, and him to back to us and to help each other. He divided us at the Tower of Babel because we were working, humankind was working against God. He said, well, he loves us so much, he said, okay, I'm going to divide you so you can't work against me. I mean, already, the flood, hello, that should have been a hint right there, but nevertheless, so he changed the languages, divided people in different groups in different places on the earth. Then he divided the land. The land was one land. See, so Satan, now look, Satan's objective from that point on was to bring everybody back. And then, cleverly, combine all the races together so there's no division. Under his control, it's called the New World Order. And God has interrupted it for generations and generations and generations. Nimrod, Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Alexander, Roman Empire. This is the reality of what's going on today. Not the state of the stupid union address. God, bunch of nonsense. All that stuff's to keep you all busy. Now, the statue in that dream that Nebuchadnezzar had in Daniel's dream, from then on, by the supernatural beings that existed, that rebelled against God, history will show you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that all along the way, Satan set up a world leader to take over in this world government. And did it succeed? No. Every one of them failed. And he gave that to a dream in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, that Daniel interpreted. That statue with a head of gold. Which was Nebuchadnezzar himself. This is very important. Has everything to do with today. The arms and chest of silver, Cyrus. The thighs and legs of bronze. Actually, the Babylon was the head of gold. Well, I'll tell you exactly. Now we're on it. The statue in Daniel 2, 10 to 11, was this timeline for each metal representing a kingdom that Satan set up to be the Antichrist. And it was Babylon from 605 B.C. to 539 B.C. And Babylon was the head of gold, which was Nebuchadnezzar. And then with the chest and arms of silver, who conquered Babylon. Babylon went down. It was taken over by Medo-Persia, led by Cyrus the Great, from the end, 539 B.C. to 331 B.C. Then Medo-Persia was taken down, which was the chest and arms of Persia. Who conquered Medo-Persia? The great kingdom of Greece, led by Macedonian Alexander the Great. Right from the time, 331 B.C. to 168 B.C. And he ruled. He was one of the greatest military minds of all time. All these leaders were led by Satan, supernaturally. And also, your Greek weapons were made of bronze. That was the age. That was the bronze in the statue, in the dream. It was Alexander. And on June 22nd, 168 B.C., at the Battle of Pydna, the kingdom of Alexandria fell. 144 years from his death under the iron monarchy of Rome. And Rome ruled from 168 B.C. to 476 A.D. And the purpose of Rome was to kill Christians. Satan has been working history ever since. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. As iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. Iron can crush gold, silver, and bronze. Rome was the greatest empire of antiquity, in old time. Jesus was crucified on a Roman cross in 31 A.D., thereabouts. Jerusalem was destroyed, as Jesus told him it would be. Every stone was taken down in 70 A.D., predicted by Jesus. That's when, thereabouts, that the 70th week of Daniel was stopped. Has not happened yet, the judgment. We're waiting on that 70th week to begin. It's called the tribulations. It's yet to happen. Who conquered Rome? In Daniel 2:41 says that the fourth kingdom shall be divided. Rome was then not conquered from the outside, but was destroyed from within in the fifth column maneuver. And divided Rome were the feet and toes, partly of iron, partly of clay. Know that the feet had 10 toes, and Rome was divided by 10 tribes. Now that was 2,500 years after the dream. Daniel predicted this 2,500 years before Rome. Rome was nothing but tribes of barbarians. Hamanani, the Burgundians, the Franks, Lombards, the Saxons, the Suevi, Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, Heruli, and the Vandals. They divided. All the barbarian tribes, one even, so someone would say, Dan, you're crazy. There's nothing but barbarian tribes there. But they all came together. As Rome. Do y'all know what the fifth column is? Every time I ask a question like that, I know you. I want to turn on that Jeopardy theme song, you know? It's called a fifth column strategy. It's going to work in America, by the way. Well, let me put it to you like this. Let's let an expert tell you. I'm just a little old country boy here in Mount Airy, North Carolina. But let's let Cicero, Marcus Tullius, tell you. in 42 B.C. After all, he should know. It's called The Enemy Within. And we're not talking Jonathan Kahn and the Harbinger. That's just a bunch of nonsense. He's part of the Illuminati anyway. It's another story. It's called The Enemy Within, as stated by Cicero Marcus Tullinus, 42 B.C. He said, and I quote, "A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and he carries his banners openly. But the traitor moves among those within the gates freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very hall of government itself. For the traitor appears not traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to his victims. He wears their face and their garments, and he appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of a city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to be feared," unquote. That's how they're going to take down America. Two pagans, Jimmy Carter and Billy Bob Clinton, allowed the Chinese to come inside America beginning in the 1970s to build bases in Mexico, open up a base in Long Beach Naval Base so the Chinese could build Costco under commercial endeavors to hide the military aspect of it. Look up Chinagate and Clinton. Look up the treaty that Jimmy Bob Carter had signed to allow the taking out of American forces and influence in Panama, secretly allowing the Chinese to move in to fill the vacuum. That was a sneaky trick there, Jimmy Carter. You should have stayed back at peanut farming. And Clinton should have stayed back in his Luciferian agenda and chasing women, because that's all he's good for. All of them, family, all of them. Democrat, Republican means nothing to these people. But Lucifer does. Now, back to that divided Rome. Those tribes I mentioned to you, you'll find the photo of their leaders today in France marching arm in arm. The Hamnani was German. The Burgundians were Swiss. Burgundians, I can't pronounce the darn word. Burgundians were the Swiss. The Franks were French. That's easy. Lombards were Italy. The Saxons were the English. Cameron, Merkel, all these others. And the Sueve was the Portuguese. The Visigoths were the Spanish. That's the Roman Empire. And then the Ostrogoths, Heruli, and the Vandals were extinct. They no longer exist. They'll be brought back up. There will be 10 nations in the New World Order. We are close. We are very close to revival of the Holy Roman Empire. It's at hand. Under a false flag called shooting 12 people in Paris. That's very significant. And you know that since the division of Rome and the taking down of Rome, that has always existed, but secretly. Five men have tried to unite Europe. Charles Maine. Charles V of Spain. Louis XIV of France. Napoleon. And Hitler. 2,500 years of human history. And these leaders, and you know that all of our American presidents, literally, and world leaders could be traced back to Charlemagne, King John, and they've tried to bring and unite Europe, and people say, what's God doing? Nothing? No. He stopped it every time. He's caused them to fail every single time. When we turn away from God, then we're in a whole heap of trouble. And don't take no fake Jonathan Kahn and nonsensical books to tell us so. This is history. A 9-year-old could write the same kind of book, Harbinger. The scimitar, whatever. They're just making money off of people's lives and lying and misdirecting people, leading people away from the true Bible, leading people away from salvation and putting them in fear. We're living at the time of the end. We are at the feet of this statue for Babylon. Babylon is not America. That's nonsense. Man, we're not even a country. We're a colony. Like Israel, which is a colony of England. And Australia and Canada. We're none but colonies. That's going to be divided up. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Nixon have set that up in 1972. Executive Order 11647. Y'all didn't know that, did you? Sure did. Years of human history declared 600 years before the time of Christ. No human can predict 2,500 years in the future. But God can, working through a righteous man. And that's what he did. Daniel was righteous. He gave the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, but Nebuchadnezzar couldn't take authority for it. He had to be told what it was because he forgot it. And then Daniel told him what it was. You see how God works? He didn't tell him what for and what about. And it happened exactly like he said, right down to the year. We're at the verge. You say, well, what in the world has that got to do with civil rights movement? It's got everything to do with it. Because it keeps us divided so they can have chaos to bring order. History is planned using Hegelian dialectic. They set up the situation, the problem. They anticipate the reaction, or they promulgate the reaction. They direct the reaction of the crowd, of the people, in the country, in the state, whatever it is. And then they have the solution. They've been doing this for centuries. They needed us to have sovereignty, family values, all those sort of thing, before the year 1945. So we would get all fired up about Pearl Harbor. Get all fired up about Alamo. Get fired up about the sinking of the Maine. Get fired up about the Lusitania. We have principles. We're tired of getting picked on. We're going to kick their butt. Okay. Well, you see, after 1945, it's now time for the takedown of America. Bill Cooper talked about this, that America would be, he's one of the last true, real truth tellers. And so was Larry McDonald. Aaron Russo. And there's something that the real truth tellers have in common. Like Nancy Schaefer, too. They all keep getting killed for some reason. That's a common trait. Check out the implications of what I just said relative to other so-called truth tellers. Now, that little jewel being said, we'll see if anybody catches on to it. They needed to have all these values before 1945 because in 1945 and 46, America was targeted for takedown, literally. So they had to undo, as I explained yesterday, they had to undo everything they set up to now take us down, to get rid of the baby boomers. Because the baby boomers, 1950, 48 to 50s, that were born in that period of time, would have been trained and received the training and the bringing up of those with those values. So they had to reduce the life expectancy. That's where Agent Orange comes in. That's where the fluorine comes in and the aluminum pots and pans comes in. That's where putting the cancer cells in the polio vaccines of over 30 million Americans in 1952, 54. That's confirmed. That's where the drugs come in the 60s. The rock and roll music comes in. That's where the feminism comes in to break up the families. That's where racism comes in. To now, we put the blacks under subjugation since 1619. So you got to put them under whoever it is, not just them, but whatever culture, country, group, you got to put them under subjection of a slave situation so they'll have a need. Then you provide that need. Then you raise them up and give them patriotism. You give them courage and you control it. Family, this is an 8-step program that's been designed by social engineers belonging to the Illuminati. This is not theory. It's what's been done. G. Edward Griffin said, and I quote, "Keep the people ignorant and afraid. Control and power becomes a detail, a self-generating byproduct of the people's hysteria. The universal methodology of the tyrant is always incrementalism." That was, I'm sorry, Derek Oduet. And G. Edward Griffin said, and I quote, "The timid and fearful cannot defend liberty or anything else," unquote. Now, Dresden James said, and I quote, "The ideal tyranny is that which is ignorantly self-administered by its victims. The most perfect slaves are therefore those which blissfully, unawarely enslave themselves," unquote. And to back that up, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe in Marxism, Reflections of Goethe, said, and I quote, "No one is more of a slave than he who thinks himself free without being so." And even the Knights of Malta, Winston Churchill, who is responsible and has been identified by historians as working with J.P. Morgan for the willful murder of 1,201 lives aboard the Lusitania by design. Even him, he said, and I quote, "The further backward you can look, the further forward you can see," unquote. He should know. He's a murderous Knights of Malta. Family, I have a short time to talk. I used to talk for 3 hours straight when I was in other networks. But I want to maximize it by trying to wake people up. Today, George Orwell, 1984, hit nail on the head. He said, another, and he was a Freemason, and he was part of the Illuminati, so he should know also. George Orwell said, 1984, I quote, "Football, beer, and above all gambling filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult." I guess today he could add one, couldn't he not? "Football, beer, and above all gambling and video games fill the horizon of their minds. Reduce their peripheral vision and keep them in control," which is not difficult. Martin Luther King said, and I quote, "We must face the appalling fact that we've been betrayed by both the Democratic and Republican parties," unquote. Any questions why he was murdered by the Pentagon and the Illuminati and the Jesuits, just like Kennedy was, like Malcolm X was, like Bobby Kennedy was, like Lincoln was, McKinley, Larry McDonald, Barry Jennings, Bill Cooper. Can I continue? Should I? I sure can. Y'all getting my point here? So let's talk specifics. Oh, I've not got the specifics yet, have I? No. They got to take us down, family. They have to bring down a nation. That be us. How do you bring down a nation? It started in 1948, 1953. What Korea was all about. To uplift the communist threat. The State Department made sure that China remained communist by our own 7th Fleet, blocking the free Chinese from invading South, or invading China. I've talked about this before. We sent our own troops up in Korea to die by blockading the free Chinese from invading, with 500,000 free Chinese to invade China to take it back. Our State Department issued orders to the 7th Fleet to block 500,000 Korean troops that wanted their home back. I wonder what would Chesty Puller would have done if he'd have known about that. Anyway, same thing about Vietnam. It's never meant to win, ever. The troops fought bravely. I've talked about this the past couple days. Agent Orange was designed to cause the cancer on purpose. In fact, I have testimony now, as of 2 days ago. I was told by those in Vietnam that had been to the VA center about Agent Orange trying to get approval for it, said that when he was over there in the field showers, they used Agent Orange barrels as their shower heads, not telling the troops. We'll talk about that next week. How do you take down a nation? You know, in any country, doesn't matter which one, really. Colonel Dan, you orchestrate society's destruction from within. It takes longer than a military victory. How long did it take for Rome to crash from the inside? It requires great patience and training, practice, planning, assassinations, manipulation of public opinion, education. You set it all up like a trap. The damage would be just as effective, if not more so. When you destroy from within with a fifth column strategy, you do it by using the country's own people against themselves. No blood is spilled in combat and the physical infrastructure is left intact unless you decide you want to cause these conflicts to turn violent or an assassination here or assassination there. Blood will be shed at that point. But there's really no need to. You can destroy them politically, personally, professionally. Just take them out of the equation. If that doesn't work, there's always a plane crash, a shooting accident, a drowning, or a family member to die. That's exactly how they do it. In any country, there are but a few key areas that determine how the citizens mature, how they live, their habits. The Vatican, the Jesuits go inside the tribe, go inside the country, go inside the camp, whatever it is, and study it. That was done in the 10th century toward the Indians that were here first, before they invaded in 1492. Oh. how to develop their beliefs. If they don't have beliefs, you create one for them. There are focal points that must be attacked. There's a book out on war by Clausewitz. Identifies, focuses on select areas of attacking the center of gravity of a country, of a people. And that's the key element. If controlled or destroyed, would hurt their opponent from the inside, like Telentius said in 42 BC, had the story from within. The key is to attack and control the mind of the inhabitants. You make friends with them. You join them. It's exactly what Columbus did. That's what Lawrence of Arabia and Hitler was for in the Middle East. It's all coming together. You start seeing it when you start studying these things. You must shape the way people view life, the values upon which their life is based. You shape the mind, you control their direction, you control their direction, and you can lead them down a pathway to hell. Or you find out their values, their way of life, and then you start infusing aliens from another culture into there one way or another. When they get approximately 175,000, 200,000 of another culture, then you start changing a culture of what you've targeted. What does that mean? Well, Muslims into Switzerland. You start having them pray in the middle of the road. You start getting them to have committees to change their holidays. Everybody started changing Columbus Day to Indigenous Day. I don't really don't care either way, personally. I'm just telling you what they do. So we started. That's why they have Muslims in the middle in Switzerland. Tell me, come on now, really. Tell me what Muslim in a hot climate in the Middle East is for any reason whatsoever wanting to move to Switzerland. Come on now. Don't y'all get this? What Muslim wanting a dickens to move to a cold climate like Switzerland when everything he's got is in the Middle East? Goodness gracious alive. And in Europe, family being funneled there. We brought jihad to the Balkans. We did. The CIA, ISI, Iranian intelligence, Saudi intelligence, Turkish intelligence, working together like a little old family, brought the jihad of 10,000 mujahideen into Bosnia. I know for a fact, I got the reports, I can tell you exactly who, Omar Sheikh, Bin Laden. We did that from Afghanistan. I know about the Stinger missiles. They're in my region. I followed them. They allowed 12 Chechens in the Pristina airport to walk through without being checked. And Russian intelligence approached me in my region and said, Tom, what are your people doing? I said, man, I don't know, but I'll find out for you. And I went and found out they let 12 Chechens in. Our government did. Using with the Albanian authorities, let 12 Chechens come in the Pristina airport without being checked. Well, I had Russians in my region, Kamenitsa, and I was on their side. You darn tootin' I was, because I was responsible for over 400 lives. And my country, my consulate, is letting Chechen Muslims come in free. These are terrorists, family. Boy, that ticked me off. I got the report, too, by the way. You see, we're helping both sides of Albanian terrorists in Macedonia and still working with Macedonian authorities at the same time. MPRI, contracted on both sides, working both against the middle. Yeah. How do you destroy a nation like us now? We're targeted, family, big time. Control the direction, you lead them to a pathway to hell. That's what they're doing to us. The center of gravity is shaped and orchestrating the country's downfall from within. Its perception of truth. Its future generations. Political philosophy. Its sense of nationalism. And the economy. And we're going down. Not Jonathan Cahn, but Martin Luther King warned us back in the 1960s. A real man of God, not like the fakes like Khan and all the rest of them. A real man of God, Martin Luther King, warned us in a speech I've played several times, actually, this past couple days. To shape truth, you control the media. Most people absorb what they know from life from the major media centers these days, don't they? And they think they know what they're doing. You get their 15 minutes of, well, the news must be telling the truth, so I've learned something. The media paints a picture for everybody to see. If that picture is constantly distorted, repeated over and over, a lie becomes a truth. Lies become accepted as truth when it's going over and over and over. They're all controlled. They're all connected nationwide. All the news agencies are connected. They say the same words. Yeah. They tell enough lies repeatedly, those lies are accepted as fact. Spin, concoct it up, distort it, influence it. Using the public platforms as television, radio, print, you can influence everybody. Sway, control the mind of the vast majority the way you choose. Subversive influence includes pitting one group against another. You ever heard of that before? To form it, internal discord, as well as ridiculing, discrediting, challenging moral principles. Sound a little familiar? National values in order to destroy any hint of a strong spiritual foundation, any allegiance to a unique national culture, get rid of it. Put it down. The target audience becomes lazy because they're apathetic. Ill-educated. That's what the schools are headed toward and have been since 1973. Ill-informed, unthinking, apathetic. That's been infused in our humanistic education system by design. Now, let me give you something you can chew on a little bit so you don't have to take your dentures out. How about this? I know I got a strange way of putting things, don't I? In the Rockefeller File by Gary Allen, 1970s, he said, with money, the Rockefellers gained control of the media. With the media, the family gained control over public opinion. With control over public opinion, they gained control of politics. And with control of politics, they're taking control of a nation. Now, let me put something else in your tooth. A little bit of dessert here. A little more specific than even that. And how they control and have for a long time the news media. And according to actual congressional records, one second here. Bear with me just one minute. Make sure I got all my little duckies here in a row. And I will prove to you once again, as I have every occasion, sometimes my mind works ahead of my planning because I put things together as I go along. But I've studied this intensely for years now, besides also being involved in it. In 1915, and it's applicable to today. And then, ironically enough, the same year that Samuel Bush was one of the founding members of the War Industries Board, forerunner of the industrial complex, yeah, 1915. In 1915, the congressional record proves a conspiracy between the powerful business and media interest. I quote congressional records. And they say, in March 1915, the J.P. Morgan interest, steel, shipbuilding, and powder interest subsidiary organizations got together 12 men high up in the newspaper world and employed them to select the most influential newspapers in the United States and sufficient number of them to control the policy of the daily press of the United States. They found it was necessary to purchase the control of 25 of the greatest papers. An editor was furnished for each paper to properly supervise, edit information regarding questions of preparedness, militarism, financial policies, and other things of national and international nature considered vital to the interests of the purchasers. And this policy also included the suppression of everything in opposition to the wishes of the interests served, unquote. Now, that was 1915. Now, how about Carol Quigley, Tragedy and Hope, an inspiration to Billy Bob Clinton, Carol Quigley was, Harvard. He said, and I quote, in the land, I quote, the American branch of this English establishment, the Council of Foreign Relations, exerted much of its influence through five American newspapers, New York Times, New York Herald Tribune, Christian Science Monitor, The Washington Post, and the lamented Boston Evening Transcript. In fact, the editor of the Christian Science Monitor was the chief American correspondent of the Round Table and later secretary of the Rhodes Trust. Now, those of you that don't know, you might say, well, what's the Round Table? And I'll tell you exactly who the Round Table was, y'all. The round table consists of representatives of these murderous members of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the Club of Rome, which is designed and created to reduce the population of the world. That's all. And the Bilderberg Group, another group of murderers, and the United Nations, set together literally in a round table, and discuss our future since 1921. They plan all the wars to kill off our children, to kill off our citizens, to kill off our veterans. They plan the wars. They convince generals, admirals, congressmen, that the New World Order is powerful. It's better to join us than to be against us. And now you know the rest of the story of my disdain for those so-called military traitors that belong to this Council of Foreign Relations. Well, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you what. I think now's a good time, while it's still fuming a little bit. Bear with me again 1 second, please. And we will show you here's one.
A special televised meeting of the New York-based Council on Foreign Relations provides a window to the real story. The speaker, Vice President Dick Cheney, takes a question from David Rockefeller.
Vice President, I just enjoyed so much your whole speech, but I was particularly pleased that you gave such a strong endorsement for the free trade agreement for all the Americans. Subject that has been of great concern to me for many years, and particularly recently, and I think it's absolutely essential for the strength of our economy.
Rockefeller's role in the drive for an FTAA was a lot more central than he portrays. Rockefeller cultivated Latin American leaders who could be counted on to support such a proposal. Both the 1994 Miami Summit and the FTAA proposal were conceived and nurtured by a Rockefeller-created network. Prominent among the organizations sponsoring the Miami event were the Council of the Americas, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller, the Americas Society, chairman, David Rockefeller, the Forum of the Americas, founder, David Rockefeller, the Institute for International Economics, financial backer and board member, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, founder and honorary chairman, David Rockefeller. Rockefeller's influence also extends to the current administration. He was chairman emeritus of the CFR when Vice President Dick Cheney once served as a director, a relationship that Cheney concealed during his congressional career.
It's good to be back at the Council on Foreign Relations. As Pete mentioned, I've been a member for a long time and was actually a director for some period of time. I never mentioned that when I was campaigning for re-election back home in Wyoming.
Y'all find that funny? I don't find it funny at all. I think it's pathetic. That's what we're dealing with, and our leaders are no better than those in Europe, Russia, and China. They all work together. I'm not anti-American. I'm not one of these liberals that goes around, I hate America and all that. I'm telling you, the whole world is like this. How about this one?
Thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean,
how about that? Council of Foreign Relations determines our policy. Korean War. Quote, Chicago Tribune got one through, said, and I quote, "The members of the council should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, it'd be World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War," unquote. They blame it, the war, on the Council of Foreign Relations, and they're still there operating. How do you take down a nation? I'm telling you how to do it. And there's other people. Where do you think I get my material from? Do you think I just make this stuff up? I don't make it up. I search out others that found the same things I've found. It's written down. It's researched. It's available. It's there. People that are trying to warn you of what's really going on. To shape future generations, you control the schools. Indoctrinate the children with principles that are sympathetic to your philosophy. You make future generations weak in mind, body, and spirit. Video games, drugs, psychotropic drugs, this false diagnosis of ADHD nonsense. Then you fill the bodies full of psychotropic drugs. If you don't use the psychotropic drugs, then you're a poor parent, and here comes those Satanists called Child Protective Service to come take them. A revolution will not work. Family, there's only one solution before I move on here. And it is supernatural. It's replacing, getting together and replacing your leaders that are Freemasons. Replacing leaders that are Knights of Malta, Rhodes Scholars, knowing that their blood oath is going to take them toward this avenue. Not putting them in. Using private investigators to find out their background. You're a Freemason. You can't be one of our party candidates. Shoo, 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 shoo. These are active steps you can take. Secret society members are there to kill you from the inside. If they're a Jesuit, they're a murderer or a potential murderer. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars like Wesley Clark. He tried to start World War III. June 1999. Oh, absolutely. I'm not being sensational about it. I'm telling you the absolute truth. In June 1999, that's what he is for. And yet he still lectures in places. People believe this yard bird. Teach them that the natural aggression is wrong and docile and submission is right. No, submission is not right. Revolution is not right either. Teach them that any basis of a moral foundation, like the principles of religion, is a weakness, should be avoided in the name of freedom, and also redefine the concept of patriotism to support your own views. You teach them to cast off the old values and traditions in the interest and name of sensitivity. After all, we wouldn't want to offend anyone with our old-fashioned traditional beliefs, that would we? No. And guns, oh, guns are wicked. Guns are dangerous and unacceptable. Throw a gun down the floor, watch it shoot somebody. An evil that must be eradicated from society. Well, that means get rid of the knives and get rid of cars too, don't it? Get rid of those values, man, if you want to take down a nation. Take away the teeth so they can't protect themselves to get rid of a nation. Well, let me give you something to chew on. 1948 to 1953, Brock Chisholm said he was director of the United Nations World Health Organization. Remember I told you, 1945. Well, 1948, 1953, he was active in taking us down. He said, and I quote, "To achieve world government, it is necessary to remove from the minds of men individualism, loyalty to family tradition, national patriotism, and religious dogmas," unquote. Every school, according to Charles Francis Potter, 1930, every school is a school of humanism. Other educators, Ruth Bader Georgia Ann Geyer, Roger Kimball, confirms every college and every university is a school of humanism and Marxism. That's an absolute fact. They got you 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. And in churches, you got them 1 hour every week, maybe, if that. Now you tell me who's going to be influenced. When you got Freemasons controlling the cops, you got Freemasons controlling the schools, you got Freemasons controlling your politics. Now you tell me. To destroy a nation from within, you shape the political philosophy and infiltrate the government. Whenever and wherever possible, you place sympathetic to your philosophy in certain locations and places. Into office at all levels, the higher the better. So they can sway the direction of the country with every function of government. Promising solutions, handouts, or to slow things down. You put a Freemason inside the council meeting. There he is. One out of 15 members is all it takes. He'll come up with ideas and things when everybody's getting going and they're coming to an agreement. He'll say, now he'll throw a little wrench in the pile and slow things down. That's what the NRA was all about, to slow things down. So Paul Rykoff, that's trying to form a group or organization through the Council of Foreign Relations, he's a member of, to help the veterans that's committing suicide. He's not there to help commit suicide, help them stop committing suicide. He's there to make sure that there's no progress, so they'll die. And he's a former veteran, but he's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. Now, somebody knew that. Wouldn't veterans get together and say, have him removed? No, because they don't know. About that. See how that works? My people perish for lack of knowledge. Ever heard that before? What God told us, because people don't pay attention. And They've infiltrated council meetings and so forth. I think you all know about that. Don't take much to change the values. Take a stand from the inside. It's happening every day now, just about. You know, people in the United States would wake up. Things could be delayed. But let me give you an idea here. Something to chew on again. How about this? My regular listeners, bear with me. I got a nice number this afternoon. Talking about infiltrating into our government. How about 12 December 2014, Lake Worth City Commission meetings? Ho, if you haven't heard this, check this out.
Priolo?
Here.
Vice Mayor Scott Maxwell?
Here.
Commissioner Christopher McVoy?
Here.
Commissioner Andy Amoroso?
Here.
Commissioner John Zerdy?
Present.
If everyone would please rise for the invocation, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance, led by Vice Mayor Scott Maxwell.
Now, when this happens, there's 8 members present on the board, and 4 of them leave. They're divided already. And he says, duly noted, because they all left, turned their back on him, walked out the bill, out the door. 5 of them, excuse me.
Duly noted. Our collective atheism, which is to say loving empathy, scientific evidence, and critical thinking, leads us to believe that we can create a better, more equal community without religious divisions. May we pray together. Mother Earth, we gather today in your redeeming and glorious presence to invoke your eternal guidance in the universe, the original creator of all things. May the efforts of this council blend the righteousness of Allah with the all-knowing wisdom of Satan. May Zeus, the great god of justice, grant us strength tonight. Jesus might forgive our shortcomings, while Buddha enlightens us through his divine affection. We praise you, Krishna, for the sanguine sacrifice that freed us all. After all, if Almighty Thor is with us, who can ever be against us? And finally, for the bounty of logic, reason, and science, we simply thank the atheists, agnostics, humanists, who now account for 1 in 5 Americans and growing rapidly. In closing, let us above all love one another, not to obtain mythical rewards for ourselves now, hereafter, or based on superstitious threats of eternal damnation, but rather embrace secular-based principles of morality and do good for goodness sake. And so we pray, so what? Thank you, Council.
Now the Pledge of Allegiance and 5 come back in.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, agenda additions, deletions, or reordering. Pamela?
Yes, at this time, staff would like to...
How about that, huh? Is that an example for you or what? How you chewing? Is your teeth holding out? I got something to say about that. Well, I should. I got another 30 minutes to go. Oh, that really ticks me off. But let me tell you. The false Christ that's coming, the Yeshua, as they call him, the false Jesus is on the way, not too far down the road. His name is Sananda Emmanuel. He is the epitome, the identical appearance of what we think Jesus Christ really looks like. Blonde-haired, blue-eyed is not the same one. That disgusting prayer was given at Lake Worth City Commission meeting in Florida. And now there's another commission meeting. They're trying to allow this to happen throughout Florida. That's real, family. This was not played out. It was a real city commissioners meeting. Well, this one named Sananda, the fallen angel, you heard me right, that's the false prophet of the Bible, who now is trying to be called Yeshua, Yahuwah, and all kinds of other nonsense names across the board by the Hebrew Roots movement. That's what they're doing it for. I know for a fact, under the Illuminati's own teaching and training, that this one named Sananda Manuel, Yeshua, will come down in some kind of extraterrestrial nonsense, hologram, who knows what. That's what, it's another story. I ain't going there right now. But he is also, according to the Illuminati, their own writings, relative to this prayer you've just heard. Okay? Watch this. He also is calling himself the Kalki Avatar, Krishna, Bodhisattva, the Christ, the Prince of Peace, Imam Mahdi, there is Allah, and Maitreya. That fits all the religions all at one. The false prophet. He fits all of them. This vice mayor, given that prayer, he includes in the same prayer Allah, Satan, Zeus, Buddha, Krishna is another name of Sananda Manuel, and Thor. Now, you would think that, well, maybe he just gotten his video games mixed up or something. Now, where have you heard Thor before in Zeus? Why would an adult in a commissioner meeting include these names in prayer? Because your movies and your TVs, your superheroes that we see in comic books, have been setting you up all along for the New Age movement and their number of gods, which are the fallen angels, yet to come. The movies have been brainwashing us all along. Superman, comic books, Rosicrucian, Man is a Superman. That comic book in 1938 was created by a Freemason. Y'all getting the point here? How they use education, comic books, to brainwash a nation from a child on up to adult? Do y'all have any clue right now of the implications I am referring to? That we've gaffed off as just fun and all that. It's not been fun at all. And right there is the evidence. To shape, to destroy a nation, infiltrate the government. Whenever and wherever possible, you place those sympathetic to your philosophy in office at all levels. You sway the direction of the country within every function of government, promising solutions, handouts, benefits for everybody. In such a way, you can tilt legislation toward incrementally increasing the control dependency on government, a government that you're shaping. Concurrently, if you can pack the courts with appointed judges that are Freemasons under a blood oath, cannot hold you accountable to the law and its constitution, you override the constitution by a disaster created. Overrides the Public Comitatus Act by a false flag. You suspend the American Constitution by a created disaster that determined 1984. They had plans with Operation Northwoods. You can act with virtual impunity. Infiltration at the highest levels can be employed to weaken the military through budget cuts, unwarranted restrictions, overcommitment, infusing homosexuality within the military itself. Women to be on frontline units with men fighting side by side? It's impossible. Yet the Joint Chief of Staff sit on their hands and do whatever they do under the table. Who knows what? Degrading both force morale and effectiveness, it's worked perfectly. A country without a strong military is like a bull without horns or a tiger without claws, defenseless and vulnerable, and they know it. When that man was, that vice mayor, Satanist, was given that prayer, reminded me of something when I saw five walk out, four or five remain. It brings me to a scripture. Matthew 10:33. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. 10:34. Think not that I come to bring to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, or sin, and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life is going to lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You see, they're trying to bring us all together under one religion. That's what the Pope's doing now. The New Age movement was what's going to morph into. We're really, really close. To take down a nation, to shape the economy, spend, tax. Oh. A country with a strong economy, financially independent, and its people unlikely to look toward the government for much of anything. If free people don't depend on their government, that government has limited sway over them anyway. So, by legislating large sums from the public treasury, you accomplish two important goals. First, you create dependence of the public, private business, subject conditions, rules, regulations that you dictate. Secondly, to take down a nation, you're putting that country in sustainable debt, reducing the value of the currency while undermining its economy. You set up wars that establishes debt. You vilify the leader and say you're fighting for democracy, but you're actually creating debt for that country. And if they don't pay the debt, you go in and vilify the country and take over. That's exactly what's happened since the 1700s. General Butler, War's a Racket, confirms that, 1932. General Butler was a Marine Corps general. Three-time Medal of Honor winner, turned one down. He thought, I don't deserve it. So he has two on his record. He exposed this use of philanthropy and commercialism to set up wars. That's what the purpose of all wars have been. We all thought in the military we're fighting for democracy. We're not. And the enemy, all believe they're fighting for the same reason, but they're not. Oh, they'll pay. This is God's business. He'll take care of them. Because when you have a armed revolution, it plays right into their hands. They'll simply put another despotic government in place of the other despotic government and call it good. That's Ron Paul's nothing more than a Rosicrucian, as all the rest of them are Freemasons or whatever. Through patent manipulation, patents, and patient manipulation, clever coordination of these few centers of gravity, you can in time have weave the downfall of even the most powerful nation from within. Does Rome come to mind? Using its own citizens and systems to orchestrate the destruction. You control the patents to keep in control, that nothing gets out of control, that you have all the inventions under your control. Make them file income tax to find out if they're making money that they shouldn't. That's the short of it. Of how to control a nation. And so that takes me to where we are today. To show you. Now, I've given you the basics, really. Now, I find it a most amazing study for myself. I mean, do what you want to. But when I started getting into this study, it was like, it was mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. That we fell into this. What's going on? Now you see why I don't listen to the State of the Union address? John Tyler quantified these steps. How to enslave a culture in 200 and 250 years of planning. Each generation. 40 to 70 years, you change it. Teaching their pagan satanic children the arts of Illuminati and Jesuits and Masons set up a one world order. How they do it? Here we go. The first phase of any operation like this, planning 250 years in advance. Think of the blacks. Think of the whites. Think of the Indians and the history as I go along here. Phase, and the women. Feminist movement. Civil rights movement. As a matter of fact, I have documented right here under the Illuminati Signs of Christ, Harabalias, that in fact, under their planning process, they list one of the triggers to control governments is liberty. So you take liberty away from them. And they have identified the signing of the Magna Carta, the document signed at Runnymede during the reign of King John in the bloodline on June the 15th, 1215 A.D. The idea of liberation from authority was presented with the emphasis upon, quote, personal liberty and the rights of the individual. The growth and development of this basic idea, mental concept, formulated perception falls in three phases or chapters. And they have it listed right here in the Illuminati's own textbook. And they are the following. You better be sitting down for this. Number one, the signing of the Magna Carta, emphasizing personal liberty. Number two, the founding of the French Republic with its emphasis upon human liberty. French Revolution, which Adam Weishaupt pulled in Thomas Jefferson, messed his mind all kinds up. Number three, the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights determining national policy was given to us by the Illuminati and the Jesuits. You thought it was for just liberty, didn't you? Founding fathers? They're all Masons, most of them. Number four, this is around 1940s, the Atlantic Charter and the Four Freedoms, bringing the whole question in an actual field and guaranteeing to men and women everywhere of the world liberty and freedom to develop the divine reality within themselves. That's the baloney. And, oh, you're really going to love this one in their own textbook. From the signing of the Magna Carta, of those areas of liberty, number two. Number three was the emancipation of the slaves. Slam dunk. I quote, the spiritual idea of human liberty, which had become a recognized idea, became a demanding desire, and great symbolic happening took place. The slaves are freed. Like all things which human beings enact, perfectioning is non-existent. The Negro is not free in this land of the free, and America will have to clean house in this respect. To put it in clear, concise words, the USA must see to it that this Constitution and Bill of Rights are facts and not a dream. Only thus can the inevitable working of the law of karma, which is our theme today, is offset. The Negroes are Americans, as well as the New Englanders and all other stocks, which are not indigenous in this country, and the Constitution is theirs also. As with the privileges it confers, are withheld by those who are the slaves of selfishness and fear, unquote. Now, number four, the liberation of humanity by the United Nations. Family, it's the enslavement of humanity by the United Nations, and they sold them on a bill of goods through this fancy wording. Family, I got it from the old textbook. Talk about soul healing, mental healers. I mean, right there it is. And you know who emancipated the slaves? An avatar by the name of Abraham Lincoln. Who, turned against the Illuminati. Now, you're getting raw history right now. That's what really happened. All three periods, 1789, 1859, 1929, were all orchestrated to keep us in debt. The purpose of every war, the pre-planned Great Depression, was to keep us in debt. That was the purpose of it. Very simple. Every 70 years. That's the real history, Harvard professor, you liar. So phase one, or the principles to nine that they've used, carrying it from generation to generation to generation. Phase one, you put the culture in some kind of bondage, slavery, oppression, suppression, whether it's political, religious, or usury. Once you've done that, now think of these groups as they go along. You go to phase two. They will develop a spiritual faith. If they're a pagan nation, then you develop one for them that's acceptable for this group. That's why the Vatican created Islam in the 6th century. That's why the Vatican created Protestantism by a Jesuit by the name of Martin Luther in the 16th century. Oh. That's why they brought Christianity of such to the black slaves 1619 on. Y'all start to get the picture? That's why they brought feminism to destroy the family, putting women in bondage. You can't smoke. You can't vote. Get back to the kitchen. Ready to bring it out? Okay, Edward Bernays, what you got? We got women trained. We're going to have Light Up for Freedom as a jingle, and they're going to go out and recruit, and that's what happened. Feminism was used by the CIA. Gloria Steinem was a CIA operative. Man, y'all been had. If they're a pagan nation, develop a religion for them that's acceptable for the group. Scientology, New Age, Jehovah's Witnesses, Hare Krishna, Mormonism. Shall I continue? Phase three. Now they've got spiritual faith. They have courage. You monitor it. You develop it. Give me liberty or give me death. Oh, baloney. What a bunch of baloney. He's a Freemason. You know where that fits? Watch this. That's old as the hills. Carried through by the engineers. Over generations. I'm exposing every doggone thing I can while the time I got to do it. Watch this. We're up to that point. Julius Caesar said, oh, one second, let me go back up here. All right. Oh, yeah, Julius Caesar. He said, and I quote, "Beware the leader who bangs the drums of war in order to whip the citizens into a patriotic fervor. For patriotism is indeed a double-edged sword. It both emboldens the blood and narrows the mind. And when the drums of war have reached a fever pitch and the blood boils with hate and the mind is closed, the leader will have no need to seize the rights of the citizens. Rather, the citizens, infused with fear, blinded by patriotism, will offer up all their rights under the leader and gladly so. I want to know, for it's what I've done. I am Caesar." Unquote. That's how it's been done all along. So when they have those steps, oh, I'm not done yet. I got to move right along here. Because I'd like to get those steps, even if I go past the time today, just a few minutes. One, put them in bondage. Two, develop a spiritual faith to give them courage. Three, it develops courage. You develop it for them. If not, interactive movements. Train speakers to incite them, to shame them into action. Phase four, when that's all done, you monitor it. You call them to personal liberty, freedom, July 4th, civil rights, feminism, Bolshevik Revolution. It's all funded by the Rockefellers, Rothschilds. French Revolution, the whole nine yards. Number five, phase five, then you move them into the next step. The Goyim have freedom at last, freedom at last. Because they did have slavery. Well, they're free now, but you monitor it. Martin Luther King was getting out of that. He was making people come together. He stopped them cold in their tracks, man. They had to readjust their thinking. So did JFK, Malcolm X, and Bobby Kennedy. That's why they murdered him. Now you see? Now they have freedom. They have an abundance. That's phase five. Thanksgiving, food channels, families on TV with food and smiles, 1940s, 1950s, TV programs, for goodness sakes, no accident. Happy days are here again. Now you have an abundance of what you didn't have before. You got it now, so you're misdirected. You head toward high esteem. You broke down their culture. Now you're going to build them back up again. You control them that way through TV. Phase six. Now the people will do the next thing themselves. They have a selfishness among the company, among the group. It's a selfishness. Don't share it, they don't. When they do, it's like amazing. You see what he did? He shared it. Wow. Don't let people in front of your line. What are you doing? Get out of my way. Hey, man, you just pulled in front of me. I'm going to kick your butt. See what happens? That's what happens. That's identifiable, and they monitor that. They push it. You see? Selfishness. Black Friday. Then phase seven, they become complacent and apathetic. Life is bad, so what? Don't worry, be happy. Bob Marley, the music, don't worry, be happy. All this is planned. He started identifying the Illuminati. They had to kill him. Bob Marley and a lot of others. John Todd. The Beatle guy. Tupac, when they start identifying. And what happens is then you go back to bondage. From bondage back to slavery, martial law, dictatorship. Because you become dependent on the government. Today I've given you exact examples of how they've done this. Demoralize takes 20 to 25 years. Anti-war, hippie stuff, drugs, changing uniforms, clothing, rock and roll music, Tavistock, TV programs. All this has been perfectly designed. Liberal thinking, Alinsky. Destabilize it. Develop a plan. back to normalization, and back to bondage. That's how it works. And they plan 250 years in advance. They can increase it, decrease it, by using dialectic. This is how it really works in this world. But they lose because Jesus Christ won across the Calvary. It's a supernatural war that they're not going to win. But once you identify for what it really is, then you can deal with it. I've just done it today. In 2 hours. Let y'all know that John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, plays my broadcast and Bible studies on a random basis on his network, HighPointRadio.net. He's got sponsors there, and you can find out who those sponsors are in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and use them. For me, he just plays my broadcast and Bible studies. My website is Watchful for Jesus, and my .com, and my Facebook is Watchful for Jesus. Welcome. Thank you. And we are going here shortly. Tomorrow, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, close some gaps. Maybe some questions might be sent to me by email. I don't know. And see if there's anything more to be spoken about on how they operate. To know the enemy, to take him down, or to even delay it, or to deal with it, you got to know who the enemy really is. Militia, veterans, you better know who you're dealing with and who you can't trust. And you're not being told the truth by those like Boykin and all the rest of them that are members of the Freemasons, members of the Knights of Malta. They're not telling you the truth. And you're being targeted. So are the citizens. But in the meantime, they will not win because the Creator will not be defeated by the created. Whose side are you on? Because what we're doing is counting the casualties of those that reject Jesus. Because they've lost this war already. There's no possible way they can win. And the tribulations are at the doorstep. And your soul is in the balance. That's the most important thing. Y'all have a good night. God bless you all. Tonight, Bible study 8 to 9 on my website. Good night. God bless. This is your watchman. I'm signing off.
I am with you every day to the end.